some Pharisees came, and to test Jesus they asked, "Is it lawful for a man to divorce his wife?" He answered them, "What did Moses command you?" They said, "Moses allowed a man to write a certificate of dismissal and to divorce her." But Jesus said to them, "Because of your hardness of heart, he wrote this commandment for you. But from the beginning of creation, God made them male and female. For this reason, a man shall leave his father and mother and be joined to his wife, and the two shall become one flesh. So they are no longer two, but one flesh. Therefore, what God has joined together, let no one separate." Then in the house, the disciples asked him again about this matter. He said to them, "Whoever divorces his wife and marries another commits adultery against her. And if she divorces her husband and marries another, she commits adultery." People were bringing little children to him in order that he might touch them. And the disciples spoke sternly to them. But when Jesus saw this, he was indignant and said to them, "Let the little children come to me. Do not stop them, for it is to such as these that the kingdom of God belongs. Truly I tell you, whoever does not receive the kingdom of God like as a little child will never enter it." And he took them up in his arms, laid his hands on them, and blessed them. The Gospel of the Lord. If I ask you a question like this, I said, what are your strongest memories of the house where you grew up? My guess is your immediate answer would be more about memories of things you did with family and friends than about the type of construction or the kind of shingles that were on the roof. Am I right about that? You know, mealtimes, game nights, backyard fun with cousins, and neighborhood kids catching fireflies. You know, all those things. These are my primary memories. And people are central to these memories. And what happened among these people 60 plus years ago continues to shape what I think and I do today. But also, if I'm honest, not everything I think and do today follows logically from what I experienced growing up. And what I've learned and experienced since leaving home to go to college has caused me to change my mind about a few things. You know, like what I need to consider when making a decision or setting out on some course of action. And it's not just facts that shape me and form me and help me with relationships today. Sometimes it's what I experience again and again. Like 5 mission trips to Haiti. They shaped my viewpoint on disaster relief, the impact of foreign aid, how difficult it is for families in third world countries to escape from the deadly grip of poverty. And if I say my faith in Jesus and his love for me determines everything I say and do, I'm not being honest. You know, self-interest gets in the way, muddies the water so much with compromises. And that just this once that I've said more than once, that sends me down paths, as it does with you, that God really would not intend for us to walk. Now, Jesus needs to remind me, and I think each of us, of God's original intent for us and for all creation. And that's what happens in today's gospel. Note, for instance, how Mark sets up this scene. Some Pharisees came to test Jesus, and they said, "Is it lawful?" Did you catch that? This isn't just some casual or even intense, for that matter, conversation about love and marriage and divorce. It's a test. Moreover, it's not even a test about divorce. It's about the law. What are the limits? What exactly do we have to do to be good people and stay within the law? Now, there were at that time several competing schools of thought about the legality of divorce. And not so much about whether divorce was legal, because everyone agreed on that. What they debated about were the circumstances and how and when it should be allowed. And so when the Pharisees come to Jesus with this question, with this test, it seems that they're trying to pin Jesus down, trying to label him, trying to draw him out and perhaps entrap him so that they might know better how to deal with him, because he was challenging so much of what they assumed was the way things ought to be. And Jesus is on to their tactic, and he deflects their question away from matters of the law and turns the question again to the larger picture of human relationships, and in particular to God's hope that our relationships are more than legal matters, but instead are the way God intends that he would help us to have and to share more abundant life. Now, Jesus goes back all the way to Genesis. He says, from the beginning of creation, God made them male and female. For this reason, a man shall leave his father and mother and be joined to his wife, and the two shall become one flesh. What God has joined together, let no one separate. Now, Jesus is making the point here that questions of marriage and divorce aren't simply a matter of legal niceties. We have to look at the bigger picture, the Creator's intention that we live in relationships where there is mutual dependence and a concern about the health of each. And in fact, Jesus goes one step further and takes what had turned into a legal convenience, you know, typically for the man who sought a divorce, and he pushes his questioners to see that this law, indeed all law, was and is intended to protect the vulnerable. At that time, when a woman was divorced, and it happened only because, in the Hebrew tradition, only because the man wanted the divorce, the woman could not ask for a divorce. That was a Roman tradition, and Jesus allows for that. It's interesting in his answer. But when a woman was divorced, she lost pretty much everything. Her status, her reputation, her economic security, everything. So Jesus says, how can you treat this just as a convenience, let alone a debating topic? The law of Moses is meant to protect the vulnerable and hurting. In the case of marriage, the woman. But every time we use the law for another purpose, we're twisting it from the Creator's plan, and indeed violating it in spirit, if not in letter. So if we look up the larger perspective beyond just simply marriage, I think Jesus is stating what kind of community the church is to be. God's people are to be a community of people centered in and on real relationships. Relationships that are founded in love and on mutual dependence. Relationships fostered by respect and dignity. Relationships pursued for the sake of the health of the church community and the protection of the vulnerable. And this becomes obvious in what happens next in this account from Mark in today's gospel. Some folks bring their children for Jesus to bless them, and the disciples try to keep them away. Have the disciples forgotten? Just 2 weeks ago, they had an incident too with the disciples and the children. And at that time, the disciples had been arguing amongst themselves who was the greatest. And what did Jesus say? Whoever wants to be first must be last of all. And he took a child and put him in their midst, and he said, and whoever welcomes a child in my name welcomes me. What an image for us as people brought into the family of God. A child is vulnerable, dependent on others for protection and care. Jesus welcomes them. He blesses them. He reminds us of the relationship that we are welcomed, that we are helpless to save ourselves without him. And he reminds us that welcoming his power into our lives pretty much means welcoming not only children, but all who are vulnerable, those whose lives are at risk, those who need care and companionship, relationships that sustain and lift them up. You know, I've never forgotten a home visit that I made early in my internship year. A toddler, I was in the home, the toddler was walking around there in the living room, and she reached out to me, and so what did I do? I picked her up. She sat on my lap, and we had a few delightful moments together. And then I noticed a warm, wet feeling on my legs. My suit, at that time, wore a suit always, had to be dry cleaned. But her mother immediately took her from me and whisked her down the hallway for a diaper change. You know, welcoming someone who is vulnerable, whether it be a child or an adult, is not without its risks. Now, there's always a potential of something happening, but that's also the potential of something great happening is there as well. Now, this is our calling as God's people, to welcome and choose to be in relationship with folks who are in need, who need someone to care about them. God's intention for us as his church is that we be a place where those who have been broken by life can find hope and forgiveness and encouragement for living as our Creator intends. It was one Sunday morning in my last congregation. Worship was just about to begin, and I was robed, ready to go, standing outside the door, just ready to walk in to go up to the front to make announcements, waiting for the bell to ring. And I noticed off to the side, which the door was over here, and a gentleman came in that I didn't know, and I said, well, I'll run over and I'll welcome him. And I went over and I shook his hand and introduced myself. He reached in his pocket, his jacket pocket, he pulled out a plastic bag filled with green leaves, and he put it in my hand and he said, take this and don't give it back to me. I need to quit using this stuff. And just as he said that, the church bell started to ring. I did not have time to go back to my office, and so I just told him I'd talk to him after church and went on up to the front of the church to do the announcements. That's the one and only time that I ever presided at worship with a bag of marijuana in my all pocket. We talked again briefly after worship. I visited him at home the next day. And over the years that followed, we met frequently, sometimes in his home, sometimes in my office. He struggled with his addiction, with holding a job, trying to keep his marriage together, with being a good dad to his two elementary age kids. But it wasn't just me that he related to. He was a part of our Wednesday evening meal and Bible study. Folks in the congregation reached out and welcomed him, and I remember him specifically working with others in the congregation refinishing some furniture, something that needed to be done. Since I left there, I've lost track of him, but I have no doubt that without his connections, the relationships that he established in that congregation, those years would have been much darker and much more chaotic for him. The church was for him what God intended it to be, about relationships and caring and forgiveness and compassion and encouragement to live as God intends us to live. And so we see that when Jesus responds to questions about divorce, he goes back to the basics of creation, reminding us that we are created for human relationships. And he challenges us, the church, to be a community in which the human relationships God intended in creation can be realized, so that when we gather on Sunday and through the week, we are a community of the broken and the loved, of those who are hurting, but also healing, of those who are lost and have also been found, and of those who know their need and seek not simply to have those needs met, but have realized that in reaching out and helping meet the needs of others, their own are met in return. It's truly amazing to be a part of what God is doing in his church, to be a community of imperfect, broken people. But we are those broken ones whom God loves, whom God is healing. And in healing us, and with us sharing that healing out into the world, God intends to make all things new. And that's good news for us and for all the world. Amen.